This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 219, Grace Teaches Us to Live Godly. The spiritual appetizer we will be using in this episode is from Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 15. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly. Turn with me now to Titus, the second chapter, and let's read verses 11 through 15. Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 15. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." So in Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 15, we find that grace teaches us how to live godly. Grace is not permission to sin, but it teaches us how to live godly. In the world today, there are a lot of people that look at grace as permission to sin. In other words, I can sin as much as I want because God is always going to forgive me. And that is true. As long as we repent and come back to God, grace is always going to be available. But it is not permission to sin. In verse 11 of Titus chapter 2, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." And so everyone has the same capability of receiving grace, because it's appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, because God sent his Son into this world and he loved us so much that he was willing to allow his Son to die for us, to go to a cross and to die a cruel death and to shed his blood for us, that should teach us something about God. It should teach us that God loves us so much. Going all the way back to the garden, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they took of that fruit, and they ate it. And man fell from the garden, and there were consequences to the sin. Man needed grace. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he prophesied of his Son coming and fulfilling that grace for us, so that we could be brought back into a relationship with him. And this teaches us how much God loves us. God did not leave us in a state where we would have no hope of ever being in heaven with him. But he sent his Son, his perfect Son, his only begotten Son, into this world. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Because God loved us so much that he sent his special Son into this world. He sent his Son, who, by the way, is also God, John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," into this world to allow us to be able to tap into his grace. Jesus died so that I could have my relationship with God restored. That should teach us that we want to deny ungodliness. We want to draw as close to this God that loves us so much as we possibly can. And the way to do that, according to Isaiah chapter 59, because sin separates us from God, is to deny ungodliness. I want to deny everything that's going to pull me away from God, even though I can receive his grace when I come back to him. When I look to him, he is going to forgive me when I call out to him and are obedient to him, and have truly godly sorrow in my life. But simply because God will forgive us does not necessarily mean that I have to sin. I should deny ungodliness because his grace, Jesus, his son that he sent into this world for me, died for me. His love is just so great for us that it should teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. In 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof." God sent his Son into this world to die for us, so that we do not have to take that path, the path that's broad, the path that leads to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, leads to those things that take us away from God. We don't have to do that. We can be taught by grace to live godly and avoid worldly lust. In verse 12, it says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. His grace and what he did for us shows us that we should live soberly, watching out for Satan." You see, Adam and Eve, they did not watch out for Satan. Satan snuck his way in and lied to them and was able to tempt them to the point where they wanted to get away from God. They wanted to get away from the way that God wanted them to live. And so they took of that fruit thinking, well, God's keeping something from me. In reality, he wasn't. But they thought that, and they weren't watching out for Satan. We need to live soberly. We need to keep our eyes wide open to Satan, because he's a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And so we need to live soberly because God has given us his grace. And watch out for Satan and his traps. His grace teaches us that because his grace is available, that there is also something else that is available, living outside of his grace. That's available to us, just as it was available to Adam and Eve. God gave Adam and Eve this lush, gorgeous, wonderful place to live, the Garden of Eden. And it was by his grace that he gave them that. He was the creator of all the world. He could have placed them anywhere that he wanted to place them because he was their creator. He was the potter and they were the clay. They would have lived wherever God desired for them to live, but he placed them in this wonderful garden. He gave them grace, and they chose to leave that grace because they were not watchful for Satan and the temptations of Satan to take them away from God. He gave them everything. He gave them all the trees. He gave them a wonderful place to live, and that was by his grace, just as he offers his grace to us today. And so we need to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, because that's what grace teaches us. If they would have been taught by grace, they would have continued to live the way that God wanted them to live, because God was playing with them. He told them exactly how they needed to live. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul told Timothy this: "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Paul wrote to Timothy so that he would know how to conduct himself in the house of God. He didn't leave Timothy without knowing how to live. And God has never left us without knowing how to live, for a way to watch in order that we may be able to live righteously. If we keep our eyes open and we read the scriptures and we study them and we get to know them, we can live the way that God wants us to live, but we have to be watchful for Satan. We have to live soberly, understanding that Satan is going to try to tempt us to go away from God. But if we know God's law and we know what he said, as Adam and Eve did, Eve told Satan, "This is what God said." Now, Satan was able to convince her that that's not what God meant, but Eve said, "This is what God said." As long as we know what God said and we are willing to live the way that God wants us to live, then we are going to live soberly. We're going to allow God's grace to work through us And we're going to be watching for what Satan is trying to trap us with. We're going to see it. We're going to stay out of that trap because of God's grace. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. God has made a promise to us. And because he's made this promise to us, we know that it's going to come to pass. He's made us a promise that we are looking for this hope. His Son came to this world in due time. He lived, he suffered, he bled, he died. He was raised from the dead, and he was seen by people here, confirming that he was raised from the dead, and then he went back to heaven. And in so doing, in going back to heaven, he said that he would come back and receive us to himself again. His grace teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Why? Because he's going to return. He's going to come back. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for his return to take his people home. When he comes back a second time, he's going to come with judgment. He's going to judge the world, but he is going to take his people home. And grace teaches us that this event is going to take place. And it teaches us how to live so that we can be ready for this event to take place in our life. If we live according to the way God wants us to live, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, and we deny ungodliness and we deny worldly lust, and we listen to grace and how God has been good to us and will continue to be good to his people throughout all eternity, then we'll understand that this is the most important act that anyone has done for us at any time. And we're going to be looking for it. And we're going to allow grace to teach us to look for it. In verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Now, we're going to mess up along the way. We're not going to be perfect as Christ was perfect. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, we've all sinned. We need to be purified. He gave himself for us that we can be purified. We can return to him. And it's by his grace that he gave us Christ. It's by his grace that he's offered us this means of salvation, this means of returning to him, because we have lawless deeds in our life. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and to live godly. The simple fact of the matter is, simply because God gave us grace does not mean that we have to sin in order to receive his grace. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Let's put this up in the screen real quick. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Verses 1 and 2 here, Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Grace is going to abound if we come back to God properly. But shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He answers his own question in verse 2. He says, certainly not. The simple fact of the matter is that God's grace is abundant. It can cover us. It will cover us. But there are certain rules and regulations by which we enter into God's grace. We cannot continue to sin and have God's grace. We have to get out of that sin. We were buried with him. We're dead to sin. We need to walk in newness of life. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We are saved by grace. That is undoubtedly true. Every person that has ever lived is going to be saved by grace. But we have to approach God's grace the way that God wants us to approach his grace. We have to approach it through faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if we are not studying God's word to build faith in our lives and then living the way that he wants us to live. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Grace is the reward. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we cannot come to his grace without faith, without knowledge of his word. The more faith we have, the easier it will be to come to his grace. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We have to diligently seek him in order to receive that reward. We have to follow in his son's footsteps. We have to have works. According to James chapter 2 and verse 17, faith without works is dead. And so if we want grace, we have to go to it the way that Jesus said to come to it, through faith. We cannot have grace without faith. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and to live godly. We can avoid sin in our lives. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, no temptation has taken or overtaken you except that such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make it the way of escape that you might be able to bear it. You see, God has provided a means of escape for every temptation. By his grace, he has given us an escape. According to Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, that means of escape is, it is written. If we want to understand God's grace, we want to be covered by it, we have to go to it through faith, just as Jesus did. Church, we need to remember that grace is not permission to sin. As a matter of fact, it teaches us how to avoid sin and live godly. Let's receive the grace of God and allow it to teach us how to live godly. And that's living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age as we look for the return of Jesus, because he gave himself for our sins. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.